shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We are here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, Saturday night, 7 to 10 on Phil TV and HD, locally here in the El Pacifico area. So if you don't pick up radio from El Pacifico where you are, because we're only on our local station here, then by all means, join us here on Phil TV and HD. We are on KTLK in Los Angeles during the weekday. And we're on KFI on Saturday nights, but it is a local show. But you can still join us here for it at Phil TV and HD on our website. And a couple of things to mention. One is that our best of 1994, which is from our days in Miami, and a very significant best of CD indeed, is available for download at philhendryshow.com, either completely, the entire CD, or individual cuts. So you can head over there and pick that up, as well as other things in our souvenir shop, including what I'm wearing right now. Those of you who are watching us on Phil TV, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse hoodie. It is black, blue, and white, the blue and white Ted's of Beverly Hills logo. And then on the back, if I get on camera three here, there you are, is the slogan of Ted's of Beverly Hills, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." So,
dude, I can't believe he gets away with that.
Ted doesn't want it to be crude, so why don't you stop making it crude? It's a very literal steak, is what he means. So there's a number of things you can avail yourself of there. Get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Very, very quick news item here. Alec Baldwin, who is always causing some trouble. No, he's not, but he, you know, people, he bugs people. You know, he doesn't bug me, you know.
He don't bug you. Yeah, that guy's politics are totally opposite yours. He don't bug you?
He doesn't bug me, no. He doesn't bug me. So what if his politics are opposite mine? Look, I can't expect everybody to agree with me. He can't expect everybody to agree with him. That's the way of the world. That's how it is. He's going to be outspoken. He's always been an outspoken guy. You know, if I didn't like him as an actor, I wouldn't talk about him at all. I'd probably think he was a pain in the ass then, but I actually like him in
what movie do you like him in?
I thought he was great in The Departed, you know?
No, that was a great movie.
Yeah, I liked him too.
In The Departed, it was great. I thought he was fantastic in that movie. I don't know. You know, some of the flicks that I see him in. Anyway, now, I can't get the straight scoop. Was he thrown off the plane, or did he just get off the plane because the pilot was bugging him, or what? But his love for the cell phone game Word with Friends, which Fred Scotty tells me his girlfriend is addicted to, got him in trouble on an American Airlines flight on Tuesday. Alec Baldwin's addiction to this cell phone game got him booted from an American Airlines plane parked at L.A. International at a gate on Tuesday afternoon, according to the actor's spokesman. He loves WWF so much, is that what it's called, Word with Friends, that he was willing to leave a plane for it, but he's already boarded another AA flight, spokesman Matthew Hitzig said in an email to CNN. It was unclear whether Baldwin was told to leave because he had refused to turn off the device. Well, then, what are you talking about, CNN, saying he got booted from the plane? You lousy, crappy, stinking, rotten news service. Baldwin used one of his other technological addictions, Twitter, to make sure the world knew that he was not happy about it. Oh, so I guess he was kicked off. One tweet took aim at the crew, saying he would never again fly on American Airlines, where retired Catholic school gym teachers from the 1950s find jobs as flight attendants. Now, that's low class, very low class.
What do you mean by that?
Retired Catholic school gym teachers from the 1950s find jobs. So in other words, they're old, and they're probably frumpy and ugly in the eyes of Alec Baldwin, who is old and frumpy and bugly, and bugly too.
You said bugly.
Yeah, but ugly.
But ugly's bugly.
Anyway, in a statement, American Airlines said the company would not comment on something that might or might not have happened. A posting on the airline's Twitter account showed the company was trying to reach Baldwin. "Mr. Baldwin, we're looking into this. Please DM us contact information." That's something that they would never do for anybody else. So now I don't like either one of them.
Why don't you like American Airlines?
I can't stand it. I'm telling you right now, I cannot stand you companies that are willing to placate a celebrity. When you pull this stuff, whether or not you were right, let's say that this was something that you were right about. On second thought, let's say it's something you were wrong about. That you were flat wrong. You know as well as I do that if this had not been Alec Baldwin, just some run-of-the-mill chump change passenger, you would not feel compelled to apologize. You wouldn't do a thing. You sure as hell wouldn't go on Twitter and make an issue out of it. Now, I know what you're going to say to me. You're going to say, well, Mr. Baldwin is so prominent that we have to defend ourselves. Let me tell you something. I've seen this a million times. These companies do a bad job. They don't know how to do their job right. They may blow it in any number of different ways, and they get called on it by somebody who has a radio show, or they get called on it by someone who has a TV show, or they get called on it by a prominent person. And all of a sudden, well, my goodness, they are at your service. Now, if you would give that kind of attention to just run-of-the-mill, rank-and-file customers who don't have a radio shows and TV show, if you would attend to them with that kind of promptness and energy and attentiveness and focus, you wouldn't have any problems at all. People would love you. You would have customer loyalty until the cows came home. Maybe after the cows came home. Maybe after the cows got dressed, took a shower, got undressed, took a shower, went to bed.
What?
Never mind. In a statement, American Airlines, okay, so they went and they tried to suck his kneecaps after he said that your flight attendants looked like gym teachers and they were a bunch of frumpy old ugly bags. This is the very liberal Alec Baldwin, who I'm sure stands for women's rights most of the time, but not if he gets his ass thrown off an airplane for screwing around with some stupid game on a cell phone. What a nitwit.
A minute ago, you said you liked him.
I do like him. He's still a nitwit. I like him as an actor. So the guy can get up and can do anything he wants in the movies. I really like that. As a guy, he sounds like a real jackass. Words with Friends is a digital word-building game popular on several platforms. Well, that's great. The first indication of trouble was posted on Twitter by Michael J. Wolfe, a consulting firm executive who was a passenger on the flight. On an American Airlines flight at LAX, Alec Baldwin removed from the plane. We had to go back to the gate. Terrible that everyone had to wait, Wolfe tweeted. A short time later, Baldwin tweeted to his nearly 600,000 followers, flight attendant on American Airlines reamed me out for playing Word with Friends while we sat at the gate, not moving. If they told you to turn off your device, you stupid clown. When CNN anchor Brooke Baldwin, no relation, tagged Alec Baldwin in a tweet asking about Word with Friends, the actor replied, it's, well, addicting. The star of NBC's 30 Rock noted in his tweets that oddly 30 Rock plays in-flight on American. Despite the apparent distress, I realize that was very,
Yeah, it's getting kind of...
Sort of one note there. Despite the apparent distress, Baldwin's journey, destination unknown, resumed. Out over the Pacific, Baldwin, who had gotten up to use the can, was thrown from the aircraft after they kicked open the emergency door. No, he's just joking, of course. They don't know where he's going. Even American Airlines doesn't know where he's going. Now, on the 3 o'clock American flight, the flight attendant already looks smarter, he tweeted. CNN's Jack Hanna and Douglas Hyde contributed to this report.
I thought that would sound kind of bad when he said about a flight attendant.
Yeah, sounded bad. Sounds ignorant, sounds disrespectful. If it was anybody else, I mean, this is a ridiculous world that we live in, man. Some of the stuff that some people get away with. If it had been the kind of person that an Alec Baldwin, for instance, doesn't like, I don't know who, let's see if it was, I don't know, just name it. Name any conservative. If they had said what he just said about the flight attendants, it would have been, I hate women. It would have been, All right, so there is that. We'll keep you up to date. I think we have Dr. Dowder, Professor Dowder, or whatever the hell, Jeff Dowder coming up in a moment to talk about Voyager and this whole intergalactic bullcrap that we're talking about. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Hope you're enjoying your evening. We thank you for being with us. We'll be right back. Hold on right after these special messages.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, it's time on an Iron Swing Show.
Yeah, this is Iron Swine Show. And Alec Baldwin is playing a game on an airplane, and a flight attendant told him to stop, and he's not doing it.
Yeah, Iron Swine's got to come because the flight attendant called him up.
Hey, are you Alec Baldwin?
Yeah.
Boy, you are. I'm not Iron Swine.
Yeah, you're not. You're just a flight attendant.
Yeah. Are you Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, I'm Alec Baldwin.
Hey, how come? You know, you better turn that off, man. We're gonna take off and everything.
No, I'm not going to. I'm Alec Baldwin. I'm gonna play it.
Damn, you're pissing me off, man. I'm gonna call Iron Swine.
I don't care. Go do whatever you think you need to be and everything.
Then I call up Iron Swine.
I'm Iron Swine. Alec Baldwin. Hey, Alec Baldwin.
What?
Turn off that game.
Ah, go to hell.
Why, you dirty? And now I open up the door. That was bitching. Iron Swine threw to Alec Baldwin out of the door.
Iron Swine.
Do that again.
I'm Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, I'm throwing you out the door. Just bitching. Iron Swine.
Very good, guys.
Did I bitching? Do it again.
Okay, he's done it enough. Alec Baldwin gets thrown out. Isn't that against the law?
What?
You're Iron Swine. You're there to enforce the law.
Yeah.
You threw a suspect out of a window.
No, I didn't. Threw it out of a door.
I mean a door.
So?
Well, you're not supposed to do that, are you?
Yeah, I'm Iron Swine. When all else fails, Iron Swine comes in.
Oh, okay. Seems like a very harsh crime for,
Yeah, but he's keeping a plane on the ground and everything.
Yeah. You know, I mean, in other words, Iron Swine is a cop, but he has special, you know, duties and stuff.
Yeah, no, I get it. He can go ahead and be, he's like Superman or something.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. But it just seems like a very harsh penalty for a guy that won't turn his damn cell phone off to throw him out of the aircraft at how many thousands of feet up?
I don't know. Make a big deal out of it.
just asking. All right, very good. So that's Iron Swine here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and he threw Alec Baldwin clear out of the plane.
Right, that's how he does it. On Iron Swine.
Yes, thank you. All right, we're going to bring on Jeff Dowder with us here to talk about the this news that we had on Voyager. And Jeff is with us from Temple City tonight. Jeff, I'm glad you came on with us. I appreciate it very much. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Phil, and thank you for, your interest in the NASA program and your interest in JPL. And certainly your interest and your listeners' interest in the Voyager program, which has been ongoing since 1977. I did hear your comments, Phil. I just wanted to correct one small thing. It has been, in point of fact, 24 years, going on 20...
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Why did I say 22? I guess 22 since 79 when it passed Jupiter.
That is correct. Yeah, it passed Jupiter 2 years into the mission, and... So you can see that it did reach a point in the solar system that was quite a long way from Earth, even within a two-year period of time. But the understand about it is that that the Voyager was taking a course that was mapped out by NASA, that it was able to reach these planets at the optimum time. So. It wouldn't take, like, 2 years. It would usually take, like, 2 years to get to Mars or something, you know.
And so why did it take only 2 years to get as far as Jupiter?
Because, like I said, it was not trying to hit all of the planets and everything. It was going on a more of a direct route and everything like that. But anyway, you wanted to talk about Voyager and...
This is a fascinating story of Voyager. The fact that Voyager now is on the verge of interstellar space, the fact that Voyager, and that means it's leaving the solar system, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's leaving the solar system, and when they say interstellar space, it's basically right what that means about it. It's between, you want to turn it down, Toby, turn it down. What? Yeah, turn it down. It's interstellar space. Which basically means that it is, like you were saying, Phil, between stars, and it's in an area of the galaxy or beyond a solar system, our solar system, where it's between the gravitational pull of our sun and the gravitational pull, say, of another star and any planets that may be orbiting that. So it's really sort of in that no man's land. But like you was also saying, there's other galactic elements. There's other, atmosphere, or not atmospheric, but other astronomical factors like solar wind and like these hypercharged particles that you was talking about.
I think it's really interesting, Jeff, as I was talking to the audience, the fact that it's 11 billion miles, you know?
Yeah.
11 billion miles that Voyager has traveled in these 24 years. That's a long way, and yet it's not even out of, or barely out of the solar system.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right when you were saying about how, you was absolutely right when you were saying about how, you know, even all of that space that it's covered, it ain't even close to being in any kind of people with on a planet or some deal like that, you know, because most of what they've been talking about are people who are most of what they're doing.
Okay. It sounds like you guys are hitting a bong there.
No, we're not. I'm sorry. Okay, most of really what is happening right now, Phil, has nothing really to do with any kind of hyperspace travel. I mean, it's just not going to happen, which brings us to the movie that you were talking about, which was Star Trek, the very first Star Trek movie.
Right. Now, that was a fascinating movie because they did, on some level, they dealt with the Voyager, the journey of Voyager, and what might have happened to Voyager.
Can you say that again? Just,
you know what, Jeff? If you guys are hitting a bong...
No, I'm not. No, I am not.
Because I just heard it.
That is very unfortunate. That's Toby Bowe, who's...
I don't know who Toby Bowe is.
You want to... Okay, could you rephrase your question, Phil?
Well, it's not... Voyager figures prominently in the Star Trek movie, the first Star Trek movie.
What? Okay. God.
Would you get...
Get out of here, man. Get out of here. It does, Phil, and... Oh, wow, look at that. Is that ski jumping?
Hey, you're on the radio with me, man.
I'm sorry. Voyager, you know,
if you're stoned, man, then that's fine. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know.
No, I'm not. No, I mean, I'm talking to you.
Well, what is this? Hey, well, is that skiing?
What?
Just tell me what's the thing with the movie? Not that I care.
Well, I wanted to point out that in the Star Trek movie, Voyager, which is what we're talking about, the satellite that has been sent on out of the thing. That, man, what was I talking about?
You're talking about Voyager and Star Trek.
Voyager and Star Trek was, in the movie, Voyager goes out into space and comes back after having had some kind of sexual encounter with another race, okay? And it could be the Borg. I think that's the theory that has been, you know, floated, or it's been floating, you know, it's been floating out there about...
About what?
About how Voyager went in the movie Star Trek, Voyager went into interstellar space and somehow was abducted this is really what happened to it, I shouldn't say, it got raped by the Borg, you know? Yeah, Toby, is that? Because Toby wrote a paper on this for his chem-ed class, and that's what he said, that the Borg raped it. So,
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I'm talking about Voyager getting raped.
Voyager got raped by the Borg?
Yeah, the ones in Star Trek. And what? And as a result of that, it can't. Oh man.
Well, you guys are hitting bongs. I can't understand anything you're saying.
Okay, let me just say it. It got hit. It got raped by the Borg, and it came back, and then it raped one of the Star Trek crew members. It raped the captain. Is that right? Sorry, I don't know.
Phil,
Toby,
Henry.
Toby, what happened? You saw it. What happened?
World famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, kind of what they do.
That's fine, man, but welcome back to the program. Now I'm having an argument or a discussion here with Bud Dickman about whether Voyager got raped by the Borg. That, first of all, that was a ridiculous and nasty comparison, okay?
Why?
Because what happened to Voyager is it became fused with another life form. That's not what Jeff said. It took on the characteristics in part of another life form. It came back to Earth. It came back to the humans that threw it out there. A lot of you younger people may not be aware of this. I think this is Voyager. If I'm wrong, I may be wrong. But the Voyager spacecraft has on it a map of the Earth and the solar system. It has a picture of a man and a woman. It has music. In other words, the reason why the film was made that way is to take advantage of what had been put on Voyager by NASA, examples of humankind in case Voyager was intercepted or otherwise was discovered by another race, that they would know who we are, what we like, you know.
What kind of music do you have on here?
They had the one I remember was Chuck Berry.
What? Why'd they put that?
What do you mean, why'd they put that? Because it's representative. It was representative of 20th century life, you know.
Yeah, but what did they put a hip-hop or anything? Or I guess there wasn't.
Hip-hop? It was 1977, okay? What do you want? Oh, yeah, you're right, bud. Maybe they should have looked into the future and grabbed some Beastie Boys or something. I don't know.
No, but put on some Outkast, something like that.
They couldn't do it in 1977. Do you understand? So they did what they could do. Now, that was the reality, and so what they did when they made the movie is, I take it, they decided to play with that in the film, and Voyager is discovered by, in point of fact, is discovered by an alien race of some kind, and comes back imprinted with that alien race's own characteristics, i.e., it's turned Voyager into something other than what it was. And when it finally does return to humankind, in this case, it's discovered by the crew of the Enterprise. One of the crew, played by that actor, I forget the guy's name.
I can look it up, man, but I don't know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, that guy, and this is why I didn't like the movie. The movie ended this way. That dude has sex with, doesn't have sex with it, but.
But a dude did it about it.
Shut up, bud, okay?
Sure. Or Voyager probably... Voyager mounted the guy.
No, Voyager. He communed with Voyager. He melded together with Voyager. He became man-machine. With a stupid, asinine ending. I hated that movie. And I was just saying to the guys, you know, the Star Trek movies, if I didn't... When I saw that flick, I thought, oh, they suck. Get out of here with these movies. And I was prepared not to see another one. But then the next one that came out, and I think they saved the franchise personally, because I think a lot of people felt the way I did. That was a really disappointing flick. It was asinine. It was silly. But the next one that they came out with was Wrath of Khan, which was an extension or sequel of one of the TV episodes.
That flick was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a great flick. And it had Ricardo Montalban reprising his part. And they had that little bug they put in people's ears.
Man, that bug in the guy's ear, that creeped me out.
That scared me too.
Well, in any event, that's what that was in the flick. So that movie, I think, saved it. It saved that whole franchise. I swear to God, I mean, if they hadn't come out with a good, strong second Star Trek movie, and that was strong enough, I think it would have been over, because that first one really blew. All right, enough about that. Thank you very much, Professor Doubter, or whoever you are, or whatever you are. What a jackball, man. Somebody get the bong away from Toby Bo. What's he doing hanging out with that guy?
Toby Bo is the guy that helps him out with a lot of his research.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'll bet he does. Speaking of being in outer space, U.S. Federal Aviation Administrator Randall Babbitt resigned after a December 3rd arrest for driving while intoxicated that his boss learned through a police press release. Man, you don't want that to happen, Jack. His boss at the United States FAA found out that Mr. Babbitt had been arrested on December the 3rd for a DUI, or in some states it's a DWI, because a police press release had it on there. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood accepted the resignation today, according to an emailed statement from Babbitt. Mr. Babbitt is age 65, was arrested after police spotted him driving on the wrong side of the road in Fairfax, Virginia. That'll do it, man.
Man, that's drunk.
Oh, yeah, that's real drunk. We have the safest aviation system in the world. Look at this. The guy gets arrested for drunk driving. We don't want you to think that we don't have safe flying. I mean, the guy was on the ground. No, actually, the statement said, it's a very nice statement. He said, we have the safest aviation system in the world, and thanks to Randy's stewardship, it became safer and stronger, said Ray LaHood in a separate emailed statement. On behalf of the American people, I thank him for his service and his leadership, but you're fired. No, he didn't say that, but that's basically what happened.
I don't get it.
What don't you get?
Well, I mean, they got to say that.
Well, they said that. I don't get why he said a lot of good stuff.
Because that's what they do, man, when you have agreed that you will resign rather than force them to fire you. And they say, if you will resign, we will part as friends, and you'll have severance, and you'll probably have your, no doubt he has his pension, you know. So they basically said, why don't you go ahead and resign and take your freaking retirement, take your pension, and just get out of our faces. And if you do that, we will have a beautiful statement that we'll make to the press. You're a great guy, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
That's how it's done, bud. That's how it's done, okay? It doesn't have to be ugly. The guy was drunk. He got arrested. It was a scene that they don't need. They decided to get him out of there. And he acceded to that. LaHood told reporters in Washington today, and that would be Tuesday, yesterday, that he had learned of Babbitt's arrest from the police press release yesterday, meaning Monday. Babbitt went on leave after officials learned of the arrest. The FAA's deputy administrator, Michael Huerta, who has been in the job since June of 2010, was named acting FAA leader, the Transportation Department said. That's very interesting. LaHood has spoken out on drunk driving to improve safety on U.S. highways. A year ago, he announced a crackdown on drivers who drink during the holidays. So obviously, one of his FAA administrators getting busted for drunk driving is not cool. This guy's the transportation secretary. Not good, man.
Yeah, I'm driving on the wrong side of the road. Are you kidding me, man? Man, if I worked for the U.S. Transportation, I wouldn't even drink.
What, you're crazy?
No, I'm not crazy. Why would I drink and run that risk?
Why would you work for the U.S. Transportation?
Because I don't care what I drink or not.
What about you, bud?
I wouldn't work for him because I like drinking beer.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between you and me. And you go to work for him.
No, I said I wouldn't go to work for him.
Said he wouldn't go to work for them. Because he knows he likes drinking beer. Is that? And you drink and drive?
No.
Yeah, you do, man. That's why you...
I said no. Don't you... No's no.
All right. We understand. Boy, what a waste of time listening to you jackasses talking about whether you'd work for the FAA. What makes you think they'd hire you? LaHood has spotted... What am I saying here? LaHood was spotted drinking... No, I'm kidding. Yes, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood himself has been arrested while driving on the wrong side of the road. However, being the Transportation Secretary, no one can fire him except the President. Anyway, an FAA administrator, Babbitt oversaw drug and alcohol testing program for the agency's air traffic controllers and for U.S. airline pilots. Commercial pilots must report drunk driving convictions to the FAA. Very, very important. Man, you don't want cats flying and drinking, you know.
Didn't you say you had to have a drug test one time?
Yeah. Yeah. Not because I was using drugs.
No, I don't. What for?
When I went to work for another company, I went to work for a company, a broadcast company. And I don't know whether I should say who. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. CBS. And CBS required at that time, I don't know if they do anymore, in 1993, they required a drug test to make sure that you were not some hophead. That didn't bother me because I don't use drugs. And
what about alcohol?
They weren't testing for that. They were testing for weed. I think they were testing for illegal substances. I think what you're asking about, Robert, is where?
Yeah, you had to let go off a freeway or something.
No, I mean, what it was this. I said, well, okay, I was in Atlanta. I was going to Minneapolis. I was going to work for CBS station in Minneapolis. I said, where the hell do I go to get a drug test? Do I go to my doctor? And they go, no, no, no. They got drug testing places where you go, where just for that specific reason. Like, where? Well, most of them are off the freeway because of the truckers. I said, oh, because the truckers got to get drug tested. Yeah. So I literally, right off the interstate, was one near where I lived. And I went in there, man, and I, you know, did my drug test. And they, I guess, sent it on up to my prospective employer. And that was that.
What did it come out as?
It came out negative, bud.
It came out negative, man. It said it on you.
I know. I just want to know.
It was negative. So, but it was interesting that of the places, the labs that they recommended to me, they were all very accessible to interstates, you know, right off the off-ramp. Bang, there's a drug testing place. You know, just go on in there, man, and get your blood pulled. And I was talking to the nurse, and we've all heard the stories, that some of the twists and flips that some of these cats go through to make sure that their drug test comes out, you know, okay, especially if they've been using pills, or they've been smoking weed, or God knows what else, going in there with other people's urine.
You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Can you imagine that? So, yeah, I had to do that. So that's the story there of Mr. Randy Babbitt. Well, I guess the moral of the story is our government is hard at work, you know, throwing people out of work if they even have. Nowadays, you can't screw around, man. You can't screw around. You just can't do it. I don't care. It shocks me beyond all belief that we, to be honest with you, the Penn State thing blows my mind. The Syracuse thing blows my mind. It, you know, it's been said by smarter guys than me, man, are you out of your mind? Would you ever risk in your wildest dreams, would you ever risk in your craziest moments, risk your career, risk your reputation, risk the institution that you work for, having any, you know, any possible appearance of impropriety with kids? Who are these guys? How stupid do you have to be? Well, I don't think it's stupid at all. I think there's something wrong. Well, the same thing with this. You want to go to work for this guy or that guy or whatever you want to do, when you're just going to have to not have a drug test that shows that you're using drugs. Because there's no excuse anymore. And now, as far as kids and what this guy Sandusky is accused of, and that other guy at Syracuse, I forget that guy's name, they finally fired him. You know, if there's enough people, you know, I hate to say where there's smoke, there's fire, because it's such a cliche, obviously, but it's one of the more applicable cliches. In fact, it's probably one of the strongest of all the cliches. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean some crazy woman who's looking to ruin someone's reputation, making all kinds of claims that aren't true. I'm talking about where a guy has had multiple parents saying, hey, wait a second, this guy, you know, and multiple kids, and over a long period of time, and it's one guy, it's not a whole institution. So the moral of the story is the following thing, and poor Joe Paterno, you know, I do feel kind of bad for the guy. Time just caught up with Joe and blew right by him. The events of the day, the way that the human race, the society is evolving around him, it just blew right past Joe Paterno, man. He's had his face in football games all of his life. He hasn't paid enough attention to what the world is turning around him and the things that the world concerns itself with. But, you know, let the word go out now, in case there's anybody that has any doubts, in case the Paterno thing escaped them, in case the Syracuse thing has escaped them, in case any of the millions and millions and millions of cases of child abuse have escaped them, let the word just go out loud and clear to every jackass out there. No, 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 no. No, no, no. It's not tolerated. The abuse of kids, even the hint of impropriety, just stay the hell away from the kids, okay? And you'll be fine. Can't do it.
Yeah, there'll be some idiot, though.
Well, if there is, and there will be, of course, you're right. He's not an idiot. He's a psychopath. Doesn't give a damn about kids. But if you clowns out there, if there's somebody out there that actually has been unfairly accused, and you were in the wrong place the wrong time, who knows what the hell happened? Keep your nose out of that whole situation. Stay the hell away from kids. Just be smart. Because there's no tolerance for it anymore. There's none. Period. Nobody is going to save your ass. Your ass is, you know, there's nobody wants to deal with these people any longer. This guy Sandusky, every time he opens his mouth, he sounds more and more like an imbecile. Now, the most recent series of comments where he was asked to clarify that statement to Bud Costas, or Bud, Bill Costas, Bob Costas. God, you know what? That's what I get for hiring a guy named Bud.
Bud Costas.
No, Bob Costas, where he said, am I sexually attracted to young boys? Am I sexually attracted? You know, 16 seconds to say no. When he was asked to clarify it, he didn't even clarify it then. His lawyer had to come in and clarify it a third time. Do yourself a favor, Mr. Lawyer. Get this guy Sandusky, put a sock in his mouth. All right, we'll be back with our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, including Angelina Jolie sued. Well, that's not right. Beautiful girl like that.
Yeah, that sucks.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I got this because, you know, I was referring to this new interview with Sandusky. He said, well, now, what the hell is this? He gave it to the New York Times. Here is an entire report from ABC News. This is George Stephanopoulos. Let's listen to this.
The child sex scandal at Penn State University is back in the headlines tonight after those bombshell comments from former coach Jerry Sandusky to the New York Times. It's his second major interview, and ABC News now has exclusive reporting that his public comments are enraging his accusers and raising questions about his defense strategy. ABC's Jim Avila is on the case.
Jerry Sandusky may soon face his accusers. Prosecutors plan on calling all 8 alleged victims to testify at next week's preliminary hearing. ABC News has learned from sources close to the case that Sandusky's second high-profile interview has so incensed his accusers, they are anxious to tell their stories.
First, he serially abused my client. And then he has to hear Sandusky deny that he did those things.
Sandusky told the New York Times over the weekend he's being turned into a monster by prosecutors who are mistaking fatherly affection for sexual abuse.
Oh, boy.
I didn't do those things.
But when given yet another chance to answer the simple question of whether he is sexually attracted to children, the former coach needed off-camera coaching.
If I say, no, I'm not attracted to boys, that's not the truth, because I'm attracted to young people, boys, girls.
Yeah, but not sexually. You're attracted because you enjoy spending time.
Right. I enjoy, that's what I was trying to say. I enjoy spending time with young people. I enjoy spending time with people.
After two major on-camera fumbles, many wonder why the former football coach is talking at all.
I think people will get used to the fact that that's just the way Jerry responds to questioning, and that's the way he gives answers.
A legitimate but risky strategy, say critics.
He kept looking away. He wouldn't make eye contact. He was fidgeting. His legs, his hands were moving all about. And those are potential signs of deception that investigators look for.
A strategy Sandusky is having trouble pulling off. Jim Avila, ABC News, New York.
Man, how about that, huh?
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
Well, I mean, douchebag is, yeah, that's one way of looking at it. But the fact is, and I sort of understand when the guy says, well, you know, and a good lawyer, and that he's got a good lawyer. This guy is saying,
you know, that guy's not a good lawyer, man. He told that guy to talk on the TV.
All right, well, what I'm saying is he did say this. He said, hey, people are going to use Jerry's weird the way he answers questions. You know.
Now, what do you mean the guy's weird? That one lady said
she's not making eye contact or nothing.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, you know, he sounds a little bit like he's trying to play. He's trying to. He's trying to convince me that he's some kind of a freaking moron. You know, or well, if I say that I'm not attracted to boys, I mean, you know, like he doesn't know what they're asking. Come on, Jack. Oh, you mean sexually? Yes, that's what we mean. Oh, well, you should have said so. Well, dude, why do you think we're asking? Oh, man. Well, I'm sure all of this will, I'm sure all of this will eventually be sorted out one way or a t'other. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It has been our pleasure to be with you. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, of course, produced by me, Phil Hendry, and of course, it is also produced by Fred Scotty and Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night here from the El Pacifico. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We will see you guys tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Till then, big smooch.
Bye, everybody. Don't forget, stay away from Jerry Sandusky.
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 Right.
Phil Hendry.